Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're excited to hear from you tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We ask that you enjoy and join us as we partake in devotion, which is song, scripture, and prayer. And we'll have a song by Yolanda Adams.
Oh, yeah.
From Maine. The first scripture is Ecclesiastes 3:1, and I'm going to read down through 3:8 as it all follows continually, reading from the Contemporary English Version. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. There is a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, for killing and healing, destroying and building, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing, for throwing stones and gathering stones, embracing and parting. There is a time for finding and losing, keeping and giving, for tearing and sowing, listening and speaking. There is also a time for love and hate, for war and peace. Amen to that, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you join me now as I offer the prayer for tonight with our theme, It Takes Time. God, we come before you asking that you lead, guide, and direct us tonight, as we want to glorify your name and to lift up your word. Help us, oh God, to have clear understanding of what it is you want us to understand and to know, to focus, and to, as we take in the word, to not just hear it, but to become doers of that word. We're asking as you lead, God, and direct us, oh God, that you would look into our hearts, into those secret places, and penetrate there, O God. Clean us up from the inside out. Let us turn our lives over completely to you, trusting you, believing you, and knowing that it takes time. We ask these blessings, God, for this lesson. We ask that everybody on the lesson would be able to be in relationship with you. We ask that everyone who's listening might come to have a relationship with you. We ask these things now. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.
So, amen.
This is Dr. Susie, and I want to do a little bit of etiquette. While we're in the studio, we ask that you not have speakerphone on because that messes with the sound in the studio. And whenever you talk, if you choose to talk, you start off by saying, this is Dr. Susie, you know, from Maine, or, you know, however you want, because sometimes we have different Brians. So Brian from Maine is great, or Brian from Kentucky, however you say it, but announce yourself so that we can get familiar with your voice and who you are. And we also ask that as the moderator, be cognizant of the amount of time you take to answer a question, because we only have an hour for the Bible study. So, you know, don't just take the mic and run with it, but, you know, give succinct answers, you know, as the Lord is leading, and then move on to the next statement or question. If I say to you something like, thank you, brother so-and-so, or thank you, sister so-and-so, that means cut it off. And if that doesn't work out, say, thank you, we're running on time. So don't get offended, and understand that we are here and we all are from different backgrounds and persuasions. So we're not here to argue. The Bible says, come and let us reason together. We're here to actually listen to one another and to grow together. So with that.
Hello?
This is Brett. I'm here.
Hello. This is Brian from Maine. I'm here as well.
Yeah, I think we lost Dr. Susie.
Yeah, let's give her a couple of minutes or a minute to get back. I'll be right back myself.
This is Joan from Maine.
Hey, Joan. Hey. This is Brett. How you doing?
Oh, good. You can hear me. I'm doing well. Well, I'm a little bit kind of bothered about this computer because it doesn't seem, or the cell phone doesn't seem to be working earlier. So I finally got in.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Eric.
Hey,
hello.
Eric.
This is Brett. Me.
Hi, Eric.
Yep. Yeah, we lost Dr. Susie.
Yeah, I'm
back.
Now.
I don't know what seems to be happening with this line, but I don't know if you guys heard earlier, it was fading in and out. So
it
must be something happening in the studio. Yeah. So
Well,
try
the devil is a
lie,
we're going to have service anyway. The devil is a lie, we're going to have service anyway.
Amen to that.
If you hear it fading out, just keep going. I'll dial back in. But as I was saying, you know, we want to develop the studio. So can I get a roll call on who's on the line tonight?
This is Brett.
Brian from Maine.
Joan from Maine.
This is Eric from a lot of places.
I think it's just a sense of humor.
Amen. We're so glad everybody's on the line tonight. We do have some people here who don't want to talk tonight. That's okay. But we have a few. So as you listen, please feel free to join in whenever you feel like it. Again, if you would announce your name, say like Joan from Maine, and then talk. And keep your explanation short, so that others can talk as well. And God's blessings be
Amen.
With you. I'm so excited about tonight. We are having a good time. So if there's anybody who wants to join in and begin, be a part of the conversation, you're more than welcome. I do have everybody listed down. We just had someone join us. If you decide you want to talk, whoever you are, just announce your name and when the opportunity arises, and feel free to share. We are here, as I said earlier, with people of different backgrounds. None of us pretty much have the same religious affiliation, but we're focusing on spirituality. We're trying to be biblicists as we come to the table to talk about God's word, to grow in it, and to help one another grow. So as with that, no further ado, Brother Brian from Maine is going to do the lesson tonight. And Brother Brian, are you there?
I am here, yes.
So for those of you who are on the line, if you're not speaking, would you put your phone on mute? And when you get ready to speak, then unmute the phone.
All right, I just want to say this, Brother Mateo Mendoza, I'm in Maine as well. I'll put it on mute, but I just wanted to let you know I'm here.
Welcome.
Awesome,
hey,
Brother Mateo. Anytime you feel like you want to participate, and if there's a hole in there, just jump in and feel free to dialogue with us. All right, so whoever's on the line, would you please mute your phones? Okay, Brother Brian.
Okay. Hey, we've been on an odyssey for several weeks, learning, striving, praying to become more like Jesus Christ, so that in our life, other people can see Christ working through us, and that we separate ourselves more and more from what the world is like and focus on loving one another, focus on helping one another, focus on just simply growing the Christian community in and around ourselves, in our families, in our circle of friends. And that's quite an undertaking because, you know, as you all know, none of us are really much like Christ when we're younger or before we're saved. And so becoming like Christ is a real journey. We've studied what it's like to grow closer to Christ and develop that relationship with him. We've studied about being transformed by truth and how truth can really set us free. We've studied about how we can be transformed by trouble and how troubles sometimes enter our life or our community or even our world and place us in a position of growing through that trouble. We've also studied how to grow through temptation, how to deal with temptation, what temptation is, and how to work on overcoming that over the course of time. Tonight's study is really about giving ourselves some time, because the Lord doesn't expect us to transform instantaneously. Certainly there are great things which happen, phenomenal things which happen when we decide to become like Christ and submit ourselves and accept him as our Savior. But it takes time, sometimes a lifetime, to become more and more like Christ. So I just want to start off and have a dialogue about the fact that in this world where we want something, we run to the store and buy it. We want something we can't afford, we run to the place we want to buy it and take a loan or buy it over time. We're very seldom in a position in today's life here in this day and age to really wait for much or to just be patient. So why should we not expect that Christ will deliver everything we need and make us just like him instantaneously? Why doesn't he do that?
This is Brett from Indy. He fixes it so that we learn. And once we learn what he's teaching us, we will always have that in our memory banks. It's just like when you first learn how to cook. If you watch your mother make a cake or something, it took time for her to teach you how to do it and do it right before she would let you do it by yourself. It's just like everything in life that is good, that is worth having, you take baby steps at getting there, but once you get there, you remembered how you got there, and then it's easier the next time and the next time and the next time. And that's what God does for us.
Amen to that. Anyone else have any ideas?
Yeah, this is Eric.
I have an idea. Oh, go ahead, Eric.
The idea is that we need time to mature, and God gives us that time to prove not only to him but to ourselves the commitment and the strength that we're going to have for eternity. This is a training ground for what is to come in the next plane. I call it eternity. And God has to show us what's inside of us too. He deliberately did not remove all of the enemies of the Israelites when they went to the promised land. There were battles, there were struggles, and he did it piece by piece methodically. Because he said, he told them, I don't want to put them all out for the wild animals to run over you. I'm going to do this process so that you won't at the sight of having to go to war with all of these enemies. And I'm going to give you bits and pieces enough for you to digest, to see what transpires when you worship me and you follow me, to show you the victories. And that will build momentum in your life, because as Brother Brian said, then you'll be able to hold on to and you can call back on those. Because one of the biggest things I think we as Christians have when we get into trouble is that we think God can't take care of our next issue, but we never look back to see him take care of all the other issues that we went through. If we just hold on and look back and say, well, you brought me through this, you brought me through this,
Amen.
You brought me through this, so you surely can take me through whatever comes next.
Absolutely, and amen to that. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Brother Mateo. I got a real short. Those are very good, by the way. I liked them. They were eye opening, and mine was a lot shorter. I believe that the Lord doesn't do all the work for us because there's no lesson in that. There's no way that we can. There's no way for us to earn anything, for us to grow. There's no lesson in if he did all the work, then what good would, you know, any of this be? He has to put us through trials and tribulations, because every time we go through a trial or a tribulation, our testimony gets greater and our faith grows stronger. So without trials and tribulations,
Amen.
We don't have a testimony.
Amen.
So when people get up and
Amen.
Give you their testimony, the more they suffer,
Amen.
The greater their testimony, the more glory given to God.
Well,
Amen.
Amen. So, And
Amen.
And this is Dr. Susie, and Mateo, people
that.
Don't want to go through that. That's the reality. This is Dr. Susie.
Yes,
I see this journey kind of like cooking beans. If you cook them too fast, they burn. And they are
All right.
horrible smell.
That's right.
It takes as long as it takes.
That's right. Amen. I agree with that.
Amen to that. Anyone else?
This is Joan from Maine. I guess the reason why, but in my experience, it's because there's no way that we could, how do you call it? No, we don't even know what God is. A lot of people are missing it, because to me, now that I have learned more about God, is He is the highest among highest. How can you imagine that? And if he is, what about the others that, when you explain it, they cannot get that, because there's the, how do you call it, they cannot picture it, that he is the highest. So I think with that thought, I believe that's why we have to learn, and we have to have this ground, as you guys said. And yeah, those are the ones that everyone who has said it is exactly what we need to do. Slowly cooking, and testimonial as well. And I think the imagination of God, what is he, in order for us to understand who is God and how to be like him.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Thank you.
Excellent. Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else? Okay, so one example that I was thinking about, this is Brian from Maine. Back before the pioneer days here in the United States, trees grew very slowly because the forest was extremely mature. So it might take 200 years for a tree to grow up to the point where it was part of the canopy. Because that tree grew slowly, the fibers of that tree were extremely, extremely strong and very, very close together, very tightly knit. Now trees grow very fast. And as a result, the wood is a lot weaker. So, you know, part of this is just simply growing strong by growing slowly and becoming much more firm in our resolve. Well, let's think about the point. What are some of the reasons it takes so long? One of them is that we're slow learners. But why are we slow learners?
This is Eric, because we don't want to give up the stuff we've already learned.
That's a big
part of it. I don't want to relearn something that I've already learned and I think I already know best. So I don't want to learn that. You know, we get these habits and we get these thoughts and these processes that we start down the road with. And now all of a sudden somebody gives you some new information and shows you a better way and a different way. I don't know that I want to do that because this feels comfortable to me. I don't necessarily want to change that. I don't necessarily want to have to look into myself and say, oh, you've been doing it wrong for a while, or there may be a better way to do that. And we become slow learners because we don't want to unlearn some stuff.
Amen. Yeah, we don't want to unlearn. What are some of the things we need to unlearn?
Oh, well, that would be selfishness. That would be envy, jealousy, anger, hatred.
Yeah.
Gossiping.
This is Dr. Susie. One of the reasons I think we struggle, I mean, if you stop and look at it and you go, wow, here, I'm having the same lesson again, or it keeps happening over and over, or you find yourself repeating things, is because you did not learn it the first time. Because God is going to keep bringing that thing back into your life, whatever it is, until you learn it. So whatever, you know, we forget the lesson. Sometimes God teaches us, and then we turn around and forget it and have to learn it all over again. And some of us are such a hard-headed people that, you know, God has to slam us down just like you would clay on a wheel. Slam it down, try to get the air out of it, because we don't get it. And then when that happens for some of us, if we can start to process and get it just a little bit, then maybe the next lesson is not as difficult. And we start to grow and we start to realize, okay, at least I can think about it this time. I'm aware of what's going on instead of me just getting knocked upside the head and not knowing what's happening. But I soon get an awareness, and as I get an awareness, I seem to grow and I get better with it every time. But it recurs because we do not stop to learn the lesson. We're slow.
Amen.
This is Eric.
Amen to that.
Can I add this as well? Because I think this is important too, is that we don't always trust the person who's trying to teach us what we need to learn.
Well, just going to say it, we don't trust God.
There you go.
There you go.
I like that.
But the question becomes again, why do we have to go there when we have hope? We have a heritage of previous experience. We've learned that God has brought us through time and time again. Why can we not stand on our hope, what we know?
Because we're mere humans. This is Brian from Maine. We're flawed. We live in a world that is corrupted. People all around us are just as corrupted as we are. Some of them aren't even trying to, you know, to improve or to become more Christ-like. And so that's a challenging pattern to work through.
Amen.
This is Joan from Maine. I'd like to, I guess, to share mine. I get, why am I going around and around and around and coming back and coming back? And I have a personality that I don't like to be told again. So I have that desire of searching, and my founding that took a long time, though, is that you need to really have a good relationship with him, that you're able to talk to him. And he does. I mean, it's amazing when he responds to you. There's a timing. It's a time. And it takes time when we don't pay attention to what we do that he wants us to do to make us sharp enough to be a warrior for him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that.
This is Britt from Indianapolis. I think the reason why we get afraid is because we do not trust ourselves. We don't have enough confidence in ourselves to do what we need to do in order to make ourselves better. I keep hearing Steve Harvey talking about in his motivational speeches about in order for you to have anything, you got to jump. And the problem is that most people want to have something. They talk about it. They boast about what they would do if they did, if they had this or they did that. But the thing is, you are able to do what you want to do. You just got to take a leap of faith. And a lot of people don't have that type of faith that they can rely on. I mean, they may jump, but they'll find out their parachute ain't going to open because they don't really and truly believe. God has already told us, once you accept him, he says, I got your back. But nobody believes that. You got people that go to church every Sunday. They're there for midweek service. They're there for a whole bunch of stuff. But then when you test their faith, then you'll find out that their faith wanes. It goes in and out. They choose what they want to choose to allow their faith to work. And that's not the way that God operates. My dad taught me that a long time ago. I've always been afraid of heights. And we had a two-story house here in Indianapolis on Brookwood. And the bathroom was a dormer. And between the bathroom window and the gutter was about 2.5 feet. But that's the way you could go out to get up on the roof to repair some stuff. So me not thinking, as long as I didn't look down, I was good. I got out the bathroom window, took my dad some nails that he asked for. But then when I tried to get back in, I froze. And I had to trust my father to get me back in the bathroom window. And the thing is, he told me, he says, well, if you believe in God, believe in me, I'm not going to drop you. He had a rope around me, tied around my waist and tied through the loops of my pants and swung me around, got me into the bathroom window. And from then on, I learned to trust my dad in everything that he told me because I know he had my back. And that's the way God has. He has our backs. We just have to trust in him. We have to let the ropes of faith hold us when we're hanging over a cliff. When you have doubts about your family or something that happens and you don't know why, you got to trust God that he knows what he's doing.
Amen. That's you got to always trust God.
Absolutely. Amen. One of the aspects or one of the ways to look at or to quantify becoming more like Christ is that we're becoming more spiritually mature. And maturity takes time. There are really no shortcuts to it. Perfection would mean that we've matured to the point where we're really just like Christ. We'll never be perfect. You know, we can forget about trying to achieve that. So we're always going to have some level of immaturity. What are some of the signs that we're immature and that we're not fully matured?
Ooh, this is Eric.
Yeah.
So, wow. What are the signs? How many do you want?
Let's go.
I read some of these a couple of weeks ago. So they are some of the signs of immaturity are evil thoughts, sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasures, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, feeling that everyone is wrong except for you and your little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And there are a few others.
Come on.
But there are some.
Wow. Amen.
Those are spiritual immaturity.
Wow. Fortunately,
amen.
I don't know anybody who does any of those things. I'm just kidding. All right. Anyone else?
This is Dr. Susie. One of the things I think is also important for us to understand is that it has nothing to do with how old you are. We got old folks in the church, all been there 150 years. And just because they've been there every time they don the door opening doesn't mean that they're mature. Those are the same people who will curse you out and, you know, don't some of them and don't because they don't even have a relationship with God. They just go and hold up the pew. So we have to be very careful about associating maturity with age. That's not a good criteria.
This is true.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does immaturity do in our daily life and our daily walk, especially when people who are not Christians are watching us walk through life and work around them, shop around them, drive around them? What are some of the things that our immaturity projects to them?
Go ahead, Miss Joan. Thank you. It's one of the things that I do have in my, at least now I can control it, impatient.
Did we lose her?
This is Brother Mateo from Maine. I don't know if we lost her. She took off, but if she can still hear, I had an issue with impatience too. Every now and then it creeps its ugly face up. But what I like to do is I like to say the Lord's Prayer in my head every time I feel like I'm getting impatient. And I've used that tactic for a couple of different things in my life that I become stressed out or impatient with. So it might be something you can use. I just begin saying the Lord's Prayer, and by the time I'm at the end of saying the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is I was impatient or upset about, I'm probably not even thinking of anymore, and I'm able to deal with the situation at hand. I hope that helps you.
Amen.
Just fine.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Mateo. That
solid,
does help.
Solid practice.
That's a very good technique. You focus on saying the Lord's Prayer correctly, and while you're focusing on saying it correctly, you're not thinking about the situation you're in. So by the time you come back to the situation, you're clear-minded and able to deal with it.
You know, Brother Mateo, that's kind of part of the lesson we had last week.
Amen.
It taught us if we have a negative thought, to just cut it off and go someplace else, think about something else.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's perfect to give another scripture or something that God, from God's word, to strengthen us. Amen. Joan, are you back?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think she doesn't look like she dropped off for some reason. Maybe something happened to her phone.
I'm back now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you guys.
Yeah, but
we can.
Okay. It's on and off. I don't know why. Okay, I'm gonna mute it.
Go ahead. You got a few minutes. Just say what you need to say.
Right.
You need to move on.
Okay. Thank you. The impatience is one of the things that always jump out, and at least now I learned that. What I need to do is just I just do a prayer with God that says, Lord, please be with me, contain, sustain me with your holiness, and let me be able to be a good presentation for you. So with that little prayer like that, or all of a sudden the person smiling or talking or responding the positive ways of like, oh, thank Lord. So it does make a big difference when it comes out that way. But the impatience or anger comes out, because you jump up and then impatient comes great, react to as well. But with that lesson learned from praying, like saying something to God. I always do that anyway. That's always my key. And one of the things that I'm learning, especially now, because that's all I've been sensing that. That's always the sense. I sense him that he responds because the other person or whatever, it does react. And that little moment of reaction make a big difference to me. So paying attention to that matter too, and then it will. Then you could go to another direction too, in a positive way.
Yes, thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you for that very much.
Brian, this is Eric. Brian, I think that one of the things that our immaturity in our work and in shopping and in the people that we're around is that it gives Jesus and God a bad name. God said God is love, and Jesus came here to show the world that he loved, and he said, they will know you are my disciples by the love that you show. But yet when we're immature and we can't show love and the things that we do around people, it gives God and Jesus a bad name. And we say that we are Christians, and people here say that we are Christians, but yet our behavior is anything other than Christ-like. And so it really causes a real problem in our communities, because those folks don't know where to go now to get answers, because they can't come to us because we're living in such a way that they don't know that we even know God or Jesus.
Amen to that. It's true. And I just had a thought as well. Sometimes people do things to push our buttons or to purposefully jack us up, you know, and as humans, our reaction is almost immediately to either turtle up or become angry. But let's think about what Mateo brought to the table tonight, where if instead of reacting, we just stop. And even with the person standing there, we say a prayer inside of our head and just take some time to go before the Lord before reacting to a person who is really trying to push one of our buttons.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Actually,
it's been working out too.
Hello?
This is Brett from Indy. Yeah, I hear you, Joan.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
go ahead, Brett.
Part of the problem is the topics that we have hit on tonight so far, that we have a lot to unlearn. See, a lot of people think that they know everything and that they've been doing everything right. Then they find out that they haven't. And then we're afraid to humbly face the truth about ourselves. Nobody wants to face the truth that I'm not a good person. I need to change. I need to look at myself a different way. I need to be a different type of person. Nobody wants to do that, because that means that we're wrong and we don't want to fail. And growth is often painful and scary, because like I said, you know, that thing about the height, that's true with all of us. All of us have something that we're afraid of. But the thing is that the truth is not as scary as you think it is, because once you know what the truth is, then you can go on with your life. And then it says habits take time to develop. Yes, go ahead, Dr. Susie.
This is Dr. Susie. Britt, you just brought up a wonderful idea. You know, the reality is that when we know something like racism, we know that
there you go.
Someone may have brought it to your attention that you are not treating people fairly, equally. You call them AHs, you know, talking about countries. When you use those kind of words to describe other people, and you realize that, wow, that's not showing love. That's not showing love. If that's not showing love, you can't say that you're a Christian. If you have an understanding and it doesn't match what the Bible tells you to do, then something's not connecting. Something's not lining up. And when we have a tradition or stereotype or whatever it is that we operate in, and the Word of God tells us something different, we have to line it up. And if we can't line it up, we have to ask the question again, did we really accept Christ? Because this is Christ's word. If you can't follow the leader, then maybe you didn't accept him in the beginning. So I don't, those are questions. You know, that's the difference between somebody who's not saved and somebody who is just slowly growing. Some people are spiritually dead, and they're spiritually dead because they haven't accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They might have been on some emotional high, or somebody, you know, they went to accept them because somebody else was with them. I mean, there are ultimate lots of reasons why people make those decisions and have not committed. I think Brother Eric constantly tells us that one time he went down as a dry devil, went down and it came up a wet one. Is that what you said, Eric?
All right.
Yeah, that's the truth. That conversion,
amen,
although Christ could have done it all at one time, that conversion didn't happen that way. When I came up after being baptized, there were a whole lot of those natures that were still there. But the one thing that I had done is that I knew that I needed Christ, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And the baptism,
amen,
was my public profession of that. But all that stuff that I had been doing before I got baptized didn't just miraculously go away.
All right.
Amen. That's the reality. Well, one of the things that we need to be certain to do, excuse me, and we need to focus on this hour by hour, minute by minute, really, when we're really striving to become more like Christ, is we got to accept that God is working in our life, even when we don't really feel Him or don't really feel His presence. I've always noticed, I was saved in 1979. And there are times I pray and I can feel Him right on my shoulder. And there are other times I can pray sometimes the next evening and I can't feel Him there. But He's always there. So one of the things that is recommended is to always accept that He's always there, even when you don't feel Him close. He's always right there. And He's always helping us. He's always being patient with us. His hand of love is always on our heart. And we can be completely confident in that. We may feel one way or another, but He's always right there and always faithful. Any comments to that?
I believe that, especially now. I think what I have, this is Joan from Maine, and I believe the main thing, listening to you all, it's that whatever that triggers us, and the first thing that I have in mind was when Jesus was in a boat with the disciples, and then they were all crying because Jesus was lying down and resting, as well as while the ocean was having a storm. And He said, "Please be still," you know, and that's one of the things that it reminded me. And another one was a denial, if we do not admit when it hurts, and that's the hardest part. And how do we break that if it is true and it hurts, and to get rid of that denial in our life? And that's another thing that I've learned from that. And being with the prayers, by trying to understand, what are you, Lord? What is it that I'm missing? And all He wanted is just try to, you really wanted so bad to learn of Him, who He is. And once He feels that, He does respond. And that's, I can relate to that, Brother Brian.
Amen. Thank you, Joan. Anyone else have any input about trusting God and believing that He's always there, helping you through?
Well, this is Eric. If that should be a no-brainer, as we used to say, because if you didn't trust that God was there with you and bring you through, you wouldn't have got to where you've gotten to now. If we are all honest and look,
amen,
back at our lives, if there was no God to look after us and care for us, we would not have gotten as far as we have gotten to this day. We wouldn't see this March 31st, 2020.
That's true. One thing we can do is we can keep a journal of the lessons that we've learned. We can journalize these lessons as we mature.
Amen. That's the truth.
One thing we need to do is, you know, we know God's there. We know He's helping us through. We have to be patient with ourselves, but yet we want to maintain a pace. We want to discipline ourselves. So how do we balance pushing ourselves along and yet being patient that this is going to take time and probably will mature throughout the rest of our life? How do we balance that out?
Wow, this is Eric. That's a great question. And I don't know that we've got many good answers. but for me, the balancing out would be, as always, to remain in study and fellowship, to remain looking back over one's life and not dwelling on those things, but reaffirming what God has done within my life to get me to this point, and being humble enough to know that it is God who is in charge and not me, to continually remind myself of that.
Amen.
This is Brett from
Indianapolis.
Yeah. I don't think that we actually balance out. And the reason why I say that is because one is going to overtake the other. Just think of life as a scale. And you start out with all your imperfections and your thoughts and stuff. And as you learn about God and accept Him and you start growing, then what you do out here in the street is going to be offset by what God is telling you. So therefore, you're going to lose some of that street stuff and gain on God's side what He wants you to learn and do. And then eventually the scale gets so heavy on God's side that what you were doing in the street doesn't have anything to do with it, because you have to let go of what you are doing now, because God is in a different realm. He is a spirit, and that is something that a lot of people don't believe that is true, but I based my ministry on that back in 1983, that God is a spirit and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The thing is, we know that we have wind. You can't see it, but you know it is a wind because it allows you to breathe. That's the way God is. God is a spirit. You can't see Him, but when He moves on you, you'll know it. You can't sit still. You can't be quiet. You can't just act like I'm okay. When God touches you, your spirit is going to move, because before you were born, God knew your spirit. And once God and your spirit make contact again, oh, Lord, what a party. That's why I believe. Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen to that. Reading from the Living Bible, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3, these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day.
Amen.
With that in mind, we are commanded. Think about this, folks. We are commanded to not be discouraged. Discouragement doesn't come from the Lord. Discouragement comes from the enemy. We are told not to be discouraged. We cannot allow ourselves to, we cannot falter. We can't allow it to happen. So even though it's going to creep in, we have to identify it for what it is. It's an attack.
Amen.
You're sword out of the word of God and you slash it because that's all it is. Never get discouraged. You're always going to be pacing the best you can do. You need to be mindful of that and working towards it, but never, ever let discouragement or any other form of evil creep in because it will become the factor. You know, we're going through a challenge right now. For the first time in a long time, it's across the whole planet. It's a disease that's spreading. We are not going to be discouraged by this disease, even if we catch it, even if loved ones die, because we're going to fight through it. We're going to pray. We're going to stand firm in our faith, regardless of what the earthly realm is doing. And thank
Amen.
God for that.
And well,
this is Britt. I just want to say one thing. We should never be afraid of what Satan is trying to do, because Satan doesn't have power over life and death. Only God has that. And there's a lot of things, a lot of myths that people have said in the past about the devil and what his powers are. But when you read this Bible, when you get into it and you start listening and studying and attending Bible study, you'll find out that the devil doesn't have any power. He can only suggest.
Absolutely true.
As it
Amen
says,
to that.
Yeah, as it says, one point in the Bible, it says that that the devil seduced Eve. And the thing is that's all the devil can do. He can try and seduce you into doing things, but see, that's where maturity comes in. That's where learning about the word. That's where what we just studied tonight comes into play. You've got to learn how to stop looking at things that glitters and golds and shiny and does it real curvy and you think that's it. It's not. Believe me, it's not. Because once that window dressing falls off, hey, it's all the same. So that's all I'm going to say on that.
Amen to that.
This is Eric, and okay. I just want to read two quick scriptures here. The first one, Galatians 5, course 22 and 23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. And the other one is in 2 Peter 1, as we talk about maturity, and it takes time. This is 2 Peter 1. And I'm just going to start at 5. And when you get a chance, go back and read basically 3 through 10, but I'm going to read 5 through 7. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to the love of other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to turn it back to Dr. Susie.
Amen, amen, amen. Wanted to take a second here. This whole lesson is talking about it takes time. And one of the things that we get caught up in is how fast we grow. And it's interesting how our focus is one thing and God's is another. We may focus on how fast, but God is focusing on how strong we grow, you know. And we always ask the question, well, why does it take so long? And we realize that it takes long because we're slow learners. We've got a lot to learn. We're afraid to humbly face the truth about ourselves, which is the real hard piece, being aware, self-aware. Growth is often painful and scary. It's kind of like, you know, you think about a snake that has the shedded skin. That skin coming off is painful, but it's necessary to grow. You've got to let go and to, you know, realizing that you can't have change with, you know, unless you got to let go so you can change and move forward. And sometimes, as we talked about, that can be painful. And then when we do start to do God's work, we need to create habits. Eric always talks about how every morning, no matter what, he gets up and he's got time that he designates to God. No matter what happens, he's going to go through that time.
Amen.
So habits. How many days does a habit take? 30 days at least? Anybody else? How many days does it take to develop a habit?
Well, some psychologists have said 21.
I'm going to say about 40 years.
Well, whatever we do,
we got to realize we cannot get in a hurry. We have to believe God is working in our lives even when we don't feel it. And then we, as Brian said, keep a journal, keep a note, so that we can go back and see our growth. You know, go, wow, you know, this is how I was 10 years ago reading these notes. I really have grown. You know what I'm saying? Be patient with God and with yourself, and do not get discouraged. And we got to realize, there are no shortcuts to maturity, but we got to know that God who began a good work in us, we know and we can be confident that he's going to continue until God's finished when Jesus comes again. We are excited about that because we know what God is going to do. God is true to his word, and what good work he began in you, he will bring it to completion. So I'd like to ask everybody tonight to continue to lift up a prayer. Today I thought I was going to have to work with the COVID patients at our facility, and I just want to tell you I have a praise report, and that is God worked it out. I have to do shifts of 10, my time change, but I don't have to be exposed to COVID, and I'm really grateful for that. So I ask you guys to continue to praise God for me. I ask you to pray that I'm able to endure these 10-hour shifts and not be overwhelmed, and that, you know, God will continue to lead, guide, and direct. And like I said, I'm ecstatic that I don't have to be. I'm on the clean team. The dirty team is on the hospital side where there's risk. So.
Amen.
Are there any other praise reports before we go? Any praise reports? Prayer requests?
The praise report is just I don't have any colds. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen
to that.
Praise reports, prayer requests? Eric, would you close us out, please?
Gracious Father, we humbly come before you, God. Humble servants, thanking you for this opportunity to gather and share your word. Father, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives and that you'll continue to do. We thank you for your blessing upon Dr. Susie and her issue at work that has been resolved for her benefit, Father. And we thank you for Joan and her health, Father. We thank you for all of us that are here and those that are listening, that you will continue to guide and direct us and help us to have the sense to follow your guidance of the Holy Spirit, Father. So many times we know what we should do, but we do things that we think will be okay, and they're not for our good, and they're not for your glory. And we will give you the praise, honor, and glory, Father. And for those that are listening, I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would touch their hearts, their minds, and their souls, that they may humble themselves to pray this prayer, that ask Jesus Christ to come in their life. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life and lead, guide, and direct me as I surrender myself to you, that all may be well, that I may get to know you as my personal Savior and that I would humble myself under your guidance, that I may grow into the maturity that you need me to do, to have the fruits of the Spirit, to live in a way that pleases you. And we know, Father, that if they pray that prayer in earnest, Father, that you have saved and come into their lives at that point. And then I would ask at that point that they would find a Bible-believing teaching place where they could worship and fellowship, Father, that they may begin to know more about what it is that you call us to do, getting into your word and understanding your word, and most of all, letting Christ lead the way, Father. So many times we don't want to give up the driving of our lives, but we really need to be in the passenger seat, Father. So thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do until we are able to meet again, Father. May you rest, rule, and abide in our lives, and may we give you the praise, honor, and glory that you so richly deserve for all that you have done. For Christ died on the cross so we may have this opportunity this night to share. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us today. Next week, the subject will be accepting your assignment. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Invite someone and have them call in 46478.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.